The New York Times book pages show that Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For?, has been on the paper's advice bestseller list for 69 weeks now. Glorious Appearing, the 12th and final installment of the popular Left Behind series, sold 2 million copies even before its publication in March. It's been on the best-selling fiction list ever since. And Shadowmancer, described as the Christian Harry Potter, is one of the hottest-selling children's books this spring. Christian books have gone from a niche enterprise to the best-selling mainstream. Evangelical fiction flies off the shelves at Walmart, self-help books with a Christian message are sold at grocery stores, and sales at Christian bookstores don't even count towards that New York Times bestseller list. With the number of readers still on the rise, big-time publishers have lured away some top writers for their new religious books divisions. Later in the program, we'll take a look back at the music and unusual tunings of British folk singer Nick Drake. But first, the rise of Christian literature. If you read these books, call and tell us what you find appealing. And what's more important to you, the story or the message? And if you write Christian literature, call and tell us how you incorporate faith in your stories. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Jana Rees, the Religion Book Review editor for Publishers Weekly. She's at the studios of member station WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Given this rise in Christian book sales, tell us, how big a business is this now?
Well, the CBA industry, the Christian Booksellers Association, estimates that the entire industry is a $5 billion annual industry. That includes books and music, fiction, nonfiction, pretty much everything.
And that's a lot of money.
It is. And it's growing every year.
What do readers find so appealing about these books?
Well, with Christian fiction, I think we're seeing readers who are very interested in the power of story. Certainly with the Left Behind series, that has brought new readers into the whole industry who are looking for other kinds of stories as well as apocalyptic fiction. Some of it may be driven by the news, difficulties with our nation right now, very uncertain times. But some of it, I think, is just the perennial interest in a good story.
Mm. Now, Left Behind is an absolute phenomenon. The two men who write, these may be the best-selling authors of all time.
That's right. And really, in publishing, this is unprecedented. We've not seen anything like this before with two authors and 12 novels in a series. And actually, there will be two more. Even though Christ has appeared, you'd think that the story would come to an end. But actually, they're going to do a prequel and then a sequel in addition in the series.
If I were the author or the publisher of these books, I might find a post-apocalypse sequel, too. who are the people who buy these books? Some have said that this is a red state phenomenon. In other words, the parties that voted Republican last time.
Yes, and there definitely is some credence to that theory. You know, Tyndall House, which is the publisher that does the Left Behind novels, estimates that 71% of their readers are from the South and the Midwest. And that's obviously a huge core customer base for them.
What is considered Christian literature? Are there guidelines that have to be followed?
This is a very interesting question. What is considered Christian literature? We could debate endlessly whether it's something that comes from a Christian publishing house or if it's a novel that comes from any publishing house that just delves into those questions of faith and spirituality. You know, it's an issue. But if you're talking about the fiction that is published by Christian publishing houses, that is mostly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the part of the industry where we're seeing the most explosive growth right now.
And when you're talking about just Christian publishing houses, are you including the Christian publishing divisions of big companies like Doubleday?
Yes, that's a recent issue. Just within the last 5-6 years, we've seen some major, quote-unquote, secular publishers, New York publishing houses, getting their toes into this market. It's a very profitable market, and I think they understand that, and they would like to have some sort of piece of that market for themselves.
Our number, if you'd like to join our conversation, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Jana Rees of Publishers Weekly. And let's talk with Monica. Monica's on the phone with us from Milford, Indiana.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a capital A addicted to these books. And I've been following the Left Behind series since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finished The Glorious Appearing, and it was, I think, the best book out of all of them. But my comment is, if a person just searches for these books, I didn't realize that, for instance, Frank Peretti was also such an author until a friend of mine got me started. And, yeah, I would say that author is just as good as the Left Behind series, and I don't know if there's many people just familiar with his books, but I think the reason I like them is because they're, I don't want to say fantasy, but yet they're so real to life without, with a little fantasy mixed in,
mm-hmm.
but yet it's like you can relate to some of the people's feelings, and I think the good and bad in the books has just always been just in our culture, you know, the good guy against the bad guy. And it's just, well, I'm addicted to them.
How many books do you read, let's say, a month?
Well, I can read a thick novel in one day. I have 4 children, so I don't get much done if I do.
I can understand that.
But if that answers your question, I've read my Left Behind series. I've read every book twice. And I've read some of them 3 times.
Hmm.
And they just don't make them fast enough.
I can understand that, too. John Aris, one of the things Monica was talking about was the word of mouth. That seems to be a big part of the sort of a viral advertising, if you will, for a lot of these Christian books.
That's absolutely true. And with Left Behind, Tyndale House, when they originally published these books, they were thinking maybe they would do one, then they thought maybe they would do a trilogy. They would have a 75,000 copy print run, which is a very healthy, respectable print run. No one expected this kind of phenomenon to take place. And it's precisely because of customers like Monica and people who log on to leftbehind.com and who talk about it from the pulpit that has really driven the sales of these novels.
And Monica, do you read them for entertainment value? Do you feel like you're being preached at when you read these books?
Well, I am a Christian, so I'm familiar with a lot of what's being said, but mm-hmm. I would say I'm for the sitting on the edge of your seat type of thing. For instance, the Frank Peretti, there was one book, Piercing the Darkness, that was so edge of the seat that I absolutely could not read it at night. I mean, it's about spiritual warfare of spirituality around you that you can't see that's going on around you without you seeing it. And I couldn't even read it at night. But during the day when I got up, it was just like edge of your seat. And, yeah, so I have to watch how I read because I do have 4 children, and I don't want to neglect my family. But I guess that's the way I read them. And as far as I just heard the comment from you both about certain readers, like a group of readers,
mm-hmm.
I have got friends that don't vote at all, that are no political either way. And I've got friends that are non-Christians. I've got friends that are Christians. And it seems like this is just growing so fast. And I think it is by word of mouth, because I've told many people about some of these authors, and they started reading them. And they'll even go to the library, and the libraries don't even have them. I mean, they're all checked out, and yeah, so they use mine.
Well, Monica, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email we got from Donna Sipe, who writes, probably 80% of what I read now is Christian, and I've noticed in the last few years Christian fiction is really improving. Compelling stories, believable characters, helpful lessons, what's not to like. P.S., I've been waiting for the Left Behind series to be finished in order to read it. I can't stand to wait for the next book. So is she right about the improvements in Christian fiction?
I would say yes. I think she is right. You know, in about 3-4 years ago, the Christie Awards were launched to recognize excellence in Christian fiction. It's like the Oscar of Christian fiction. And the number of submissions just to win the contest has increased dramatically every year. And I think that it's becoming a recognizable symbol of excellence. And writers want that. They want to win an award. It's a good motivator for them.
Let's go now to Anna, who's with us from Monterey, California.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to comment that I think it's wonderful that they came up with these Left Behind series for the Christians. It's nice that they have something exciting to read. But I've also noticed that in my own family, I'm not a Christian, and when I've went back to Illinois to visit my cousin with my new little 2-year-old girl, my Christian cousins gave me a copy of one of the Left Behind books. And, you know, because she was so moved by it, I felt like they're using it to evangelize non-Christians, and I kind of have to resent that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I might add that they gave my daughter some of the popular VeggieTales books, which are, they call them Sunday Values for Saturday Comics. And that was just my comment, that although it's wonderful and it motivates and moves the Christians, it's not fair to, you know, give them to.
You're absolutely right.
Go ahead, Jonna.
They're not only writing these books for entertainment. They're writing these books to proselytize. They're seen as an evangelism tool. So I'm sorry that you were the victim of that. But
anyway, that was my little comment. I was shocked. You know, that was a present for my baby with some. You know, I appreciate that they love me and they want to evangelize my family. But
that seems like a good attitude.
Okay, that's all I had to say.
Thanks very much for the call, Anna.
Sure.
Obviously you're saying there is not only a religious agenda, is there also a political agenda?
Well, certainly the Left Behind novels have been dissected endlessly by scholars for what they have to say about our current cultural anxieties, many of which are political and social. So, yes, there's definitely a political dimension to the books.
And as you read these books, again, are they primarily for the, you know, the hardcore Christian readership, people who enjoy them, or are they designed to bring in new people?
They're designed to bring in new readers. Whether they succeed at that is open to debate. Certainly the Left Behind novels have broadened the market for all Christian books, not only in their content, but also where they're sold. For the first time, people can walk into Walmart and Costco and Target and buy these books rather than having to go to a Christian bookstore, which, you know, might be intimidating for some buyers.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Pete, who's with us from San Jose, California.
Hi. I just wanted to know where... I'll say classics. I read Wrinkle in Time in 1965. Where that and the C.S. Lewis and the Perelandra out of the Silent Planet and the Narnia's Chronicles, where all those kind of fit in?
Well, you have excellent taste. I think that certainly Madeline L'Engle's writing stands as some of the very best fiction that exists with Christian themes, C.S. Lewis's Narnia series, also on that same plane. Most of what we're seeing in Christian fiction now just does not measure up to those standards, but the quality is improving. Keep holding on.
Does C.S. Lewis get neglected now because of the others? And I've read, I think it's Wind Through the Door, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the last of Madeline L'Engle. And it seemed to be almost New Age and kind of treacly.
Well,
treacly.
She's not around to hear your criticism, Pete, but go ahead, Jonna.
Well, C.S. Lewis's books actually are selling even more strongly now than they ever have before. HarperCollins, the publisher of C.S. Lewis, has enjoyed very healthy sales from his continuing backlist, so there's really no diminishing.
Are those books sold at Christian bookstores?
Yes, they are,
and
secular bookstores as well.
Of course, and also, what about somebody like J.R.R. Tolkien, The Lord of Rings? Does that fit within this? Would his books be sold at the Christian bookstores?
Some Christian bookstores would definitely carry that. Others, more conservative stores, would be a little bit concerned about fantasy elements and witchcraft and all of those debates. But most Christians, I think, agree that because Tolkien himself was very, very clear that he was writing a Christian story, that it would be okay for them to carry that in their stores.
And that's where you get into the Harry Potter problem on the other side.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Pete, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thanks.
Okay, we're talking about the rising popularity of Christian literature. And when we come back from a short break, we'll take more of your calls. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan, Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the appeal of Christian literature today. If you read these books, join our conversation. What drew you to these stories, and did you find them a good read? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Jana Reese. She's the Religion Book Review Editor for Publishers Weekly magazine. And joining us now to talk about what it's like to write a Christian book is author Reed Arvin. His first novel, The Wind in the Wheat, was published with a Christian publishing company. His latest, The Last Goodbye, was released in March by Doubleday. And he joins us from the studios of Spotland Production Company in Nashville, Tennessee. Nice of you to join us today.
Thanks for having me. I ought to say that it's HarperCollins, actually.
I apologize for
that. Is my publisher. I'm sure there's people in New York right now wincing at that. So.
Okay. Well, we'll mention HarperCollins again, and okay. Maybe they'll feel better. Why did you switch from a Christian publisher to a mainstream publisher?
Well, it happened very naturally for me. I had published, as you say, the first book in the CBA market, and was writing my second book, and about halfway through the book, I reached this moment where I knew I was going to make a choice that would make the book unpublishable for a Christian publisher. So I basically had to choose whether to sort of wound the book back into a Christian shape or find a mainstream publisher for what I was doing.
When you say material that would be unacceptable, are we talking language, sex, something like that?
Well, you know, a lot of people make a big deal out of the language and sex, but to me, those aren't the big issues. I'd say there's a limited perspective on faith that's acceptable to a Christian publisher, and I don't find that unacceptable. I think people can publish what they like.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, in my new book, I have a guy who doesn't really believe in God, but he still hurls up a prayer every once in a while just in case. You know, one of those guys, he'll pray like, "Oh, Lord, in whom I do not believe." Because he can't really stand the idea of not believing in God, so he kind of clings to the idea. And so to have a character like that in a book that is sort of ambivalent about his faith, I think is a problem for a Christian publisher because they're trying to pursue a particular agenda with what they publish.
Jana Reese, let me ask you, is Reed Arvin's story, I'm sure he's not alone.
Yes, I'm sure that's quite true. There are some things that Christian novels, the market won't bear. Christian novels have to be very circumspect in the way that they portray faith issues, sexuality, profanity, violence. Those are the big ones.
Let's get a caller involved in the conversation. This is Leonard, who's on the line from South Bend, Indiana.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the program.
Thank you.
My particular concern is that the Left Behind series is presented as Christian fiction, and I wanted to make sure that listeners realize that it really doesn't represent the mainstream of the Christian tradition, especially in its view of the end times. It presents a system of approach to the end times or to the end of the world that really arose in the early 19th century and was not a part of the Christian tradition before that, and for probably the majority of Christians today, is still not the way in which the end times are seen.
Reed Arvin, was the Left Behind series in any way a model for you?
No, not at all. I don't write apocalyptic fiction. I think the caller there makes an interesting point that the Left Behind series represent a particular kind of evangelical Christianity, which I personally have an affinity towards, but I don't feel as comfortable preaching that in the context of a story. The whole idea of the Christian marketplace is for a lot of people like myself who are Christians and writers kind of a problem, because basically what you're doing is commodifying your faith and then taking it out and selling it. And that kind of gives me the willies. I mean, I lasted one book at that, and then I found, ironically, that even though it was going to be complicated for me as a Christian in the mainstream, it was actually going to be less complicated for me than it would be to work within the Christian industry. Because at least I didn't have to have this feeling of, well, I'm mining my Christian experience for material that I can then package and sell.
Are books an effective way, do you think, to communicate Christianity, to proselytize, if you will?
Well, it's interesting because C.S. Lewis has come up in this conversation, and so has Tolkien, and most people know they were friends. And Tolkien gave Lewis a lot of grief for the Chronicles of Narnia. He didn't like them particularly. And he said, because it's too clear an allegory, don't preach, just tell the story. And that's, that for me is kind of the crux of it. my first book, which was published in the Christian marketplace, when I read it now, I kind of think, oh, everywhere it kind of veers off into preachiness, that's when I don't like it that much, you know. I'd much rather just tell a clear story. And even though I'm not in that marketplace anymore, my email indicates that somehow people still figure out on where I'm coming from.
Leonard, thanks very much for the phone call.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
One other thing about the Left Behind series, it presents a particular view of how the state of Israel fits into their idea of God's plan for the end time, which I think is not only unbiblical, but it's dangerous and wrongly influences many evangelicals, not only but also politicians, as to how they look at the state of Israel and how it's dealt with.
Okay, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
I wonder, Reed Arvin, you didn't want to publish the second novel with a Christian publishing house because you thought you'd have to distort the book a little bit to fit that particular marketplace. I wonder, when you went to HarperCollins, did they ask you to tone down the Christian content of the book at all?
Well, you know, I think we have this conception of these companies as being kind of monolithic, but the reality is you're only dealing with a handful of people. And so I think I could envision, if you had a pretty high degree of Christian content, that you would encounter a problem, but then with somebody else you might not. So I would hesitate to answer the question industry-wide. I have a great relationship with my publisher. I feel a lot of freedom to be who I am. But on the other hand, the truth is I'm not writing a real strong, ever-present Christian message. I'm really writing thrillers, and I talk about the spirituality of my characters because I think most people have some.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are on some kind of spiritual journey, whether they know it or not. So I don't want to avoid that and pretend it doesn't exist in people's lives.
But let me get back to the question. Did your publisher say, hey, you know, enough of this religion stuff?
No, but I do have the sense that if I, there would be a point if I cranked it up high enough. I do have a sense of that ceiling, yeah.
I know you were active also in the Christian music business some years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I read that you made an interesting analogy, that there was sort of a shakeout in the Christian music business, some acts went away. Do you think something similar is going to be happening in the Christian publishing business?
Yeah, if you go back into Christian music, and incidentally, a lot of these companies are the same companies, they just have different divisions. If you go back into Christian music 15 years ago, there was really a lot of substandard stuff that was meeting the marketplace's need for the message, but wasn't on a very high musical standard. And when bigger mainstream companies bought these smaller Christian-oriented companies, they put more money into them. They brought in more sophisticated marketing, but they also had less tolerance for stuff that was really not very good. And so now, if you listen to Christian radio, it's on a much, much higher level than it was at that time. My suspicion is that the same thing is happening right now in Christian publishing. There's a lot less substandard writing than there used to be, and there are now, as Jana was commenting, there's some really gifted, talented voices who are emerging within the Christian publishing industries who are able to find a very comfortable home in the CBA marketplace, and they're doing fantastic work.
Reed Arvin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Reed Arvin's latest novel, The Last Goodbye, was released in March by HarperCollins, and he joined us from the studios of Spotland Production Company in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Tina, who's with us from Peoria, Arizona.
Hi. I just wanted to say that earlier, you know, you had talked about the demographic that's reading the Christian books, and I myself have read the Left Behind series, and I don't fit that demographic at all. And many people I know who have read the Left Behind series are also in that same boat. I found out about the books through a Bible study in a Roman Catholic church, and I didn't know anything about the rapture until I read those books.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very preachy, and that is kind of a turnoff. The proselytizing didn't work with me. But I did get sucked into it, the story, and I also did a lot of research and what groups, you know, and there's a huge divergence of beliefs out there about the end times among the evangelical Christians themselves.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say, John Arise, that the audience for the Left Behind series is so enormous that it's probably difficult to describe it as any kind of demographic at all, other than everybody who's read the Left Behind books?
Exactly. Well, I said 71% of the readers, according to the publisher's figures, are from the South and the Midwest. But when you're talking about 62 million copies of these books, that's a pretty large audience. So obviously there are going to be millions of people who don't fit into that demographic. I find it fascinating, though, that that Tina found out about the books at a Roman Catholic study group. That's really interesting, and it just demonstrates how deep into American culture these books have really gone.
Tina, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now joining us is Carolyn McCready, Vice President of Editorial at Harvest House, a Christian publishing company. She joins us by phone from her office in Eugene, Oregon. Nice of you to join us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking a lot about what makes a book Christian. When a new manuscript comes your way, what are you looking for? How do you decide whether it's appropriate for your company, your market?
Well, when we're talking about fiction, which seems to be a lot of the conversation today, we're looking for a good storyteller. As Jana and Reed both talked about, story is what's key here, and that they can communicate their story powerfully and write well is the first thing. But as a Christian publisher, you're right, we're looking for someone who also brings something else to that, and that's usually a Christian worldview, looking at the world through eyes of faith, and not just any faith, but through Christian belief,
mm-hmm.
and their ability to communicate that well through story. And more as this industry has grown up, we're looking for them to do it with subtlety, with beauty, with realism. And that's a challenge, but that's what we're looking for.
Do your editors work closely with the authors to bring out the elements that you that you admire and maybe leave out the elements you don't?
Yes, definitely. We have three editors on staff who are very involved in fiction. We have four or five who work on fiction, but three especially who have a lot of heart and passion for just raising the bar for better and better Christian fiction, Christian literature, and close relationships develop with those authors so that, you know, their heart and their story comes through, but then we talk about issues like, okay, is it too preachy? Are you losing people because your message becomes more important than your character or mm-hmm. than, you know, the realistic outcome of the story? And that's a constant struggle, but I believe our fiction has gotten really to a new level in the last few years. We've published some books recently on a novel on women in depression, a woman who goes through depression, that has had an amazing impact. The letters we've received on that book have been incredible. And I think that's what story can do. You can write about a topic, and you can talk about faith, but it's not a preachy book on that topic. It's a book that women can relate to and say, no one's ever told my story before until I read this novel.
We were talking earlier about language, profanity, I guess, mm-hmm. sex, and by that I mean explicit sex, and I guess religious irreverence. Are we focusing too much on what Christian books don't allow?
That's a great question, and that's always discussed among Christian writers. You know, what are the constraints? Some people really struggle against that and find they need to publish outside this market, and others say, that's who I am. It's really comfortable for me, because there are some. You know, being real with you, I'd have to say there are some, because we are sensitive that we are publishing for a market that has some expectations for us as a Christian publisher. We don't have a written list of what you can and cannot say or what you can and cannot include. We would ask our authors to be sensitive to a market that often includes younger readers. There is something about a level of safety of parents believing, you know, they could give a teenager a book published by a Christian publisher and they wouldn't have to worry about excessive profanity or explicit sex. So we are, you know, we remain just sensitive and try to book by book work with an author. If there's a problem, we'll talk through, is there another way to say this? Is there a better way to tell the story without going there? And we have another new novel we're just starting out with, and a new novelist who's a fabulous writer, and her novel starts with a woman who is attacked and raped, and the outcome of that in her family and her relationship. And it's in there, and it's very clear what's occurred, but it's not explicit.
We're speaking with Carolyn McCready of Harvest House and with Jana Arise of Publishers Weekly. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another caller on the line. Amy's with us from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question that's especially for Ms. Arise, but I believe the woman from Harvest House might be able to speak to this as well. As a former librarian and a current professor of children's literature, my interest in Christian fiction is primarily in terms of evaluation and recommendation. And I was wondering if you feel pressed, as someone who works at Publishers Weekly, to recommend or evaluate based on the the explicit content or the explicit Christian message, or based on the quality of the literature, and if that ever presents sort of a problem when those two things oppose.
That's a very good question, Amy. Well, I think that with Publishers Weekly, our task is to evaluate the literary quality of a particular book. Does it succeed as fiction? Does it succeed in telling a story and doing it in a way that explores what we can do with language or character or setting or theme? As far as evaluating the theology of a particular book, yes, I do that personally, but in my writing for the magazine, no. And in my recommendations for other people, no.
And what about
you, Carolyn? Does that answer your question?
Well, let's get a response also from Carolyn McCready.
As a editorial eye for Harvest House, I definitely do look at where is their, how is their faith presented. So that would be part of what I'm looking at. But above that would be, first of all, is it a good writer and a good story, well told? That is a great question, because that can be a challenge. And that's what we're always searching for. I think that is, you know, the whole, the striving of Christian fiction is growing towards a balance in those two that's done beautifully, where the faith comes through in a natural, real way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hard to find good writers anywhere.
It is.
Amy, thanks very much.
Great. Thanks a lot.
An email question, and this from Dana Jones in Jenks, Oklahoma. Doing research this morning, I read on the Christian Bookstore Association's website that the new customer for them is a postmodernist looking for a total shopping experience for topics that are more self-oriented rather than the theological customer of the past. Does this trend suggest there will also be a rise in retail sales that are positioned for a Christian audience but not historically Christian products in nature, such as food or health or beauty or clothing? Are those things you've looked into, Carolyn McCready?
Well, interesting you go that direction, because what Harvest House does is we really work on publishing books that are practical, we would say self-help, practical mm-hmm. needs type books. We do a lot of books about being a good parent, about being a Christian in the workplace, about dealing with anger or depression. So we do publish specifically books. We do a few gift products, so we're not expanding into, you know, beauty and health, although that's certainly been a rise in our industry. But beyond the level of writing we were talking about in fiction, we're looking for the same thing in general market topics. We are very active right now in Walmart and Target and Costco with books that are talking about raising good kids. I mentioned to someone yesterday, we have an author that wrote on moms and anger, and that topic caught attention, and she ended up on Oprah, and it wasn't about her being a Christian, but that did, of course, influence her her perspective on how to deal with that issue.
Carolyn McCready, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Carolyn McCready, Vice President of Editorial at Harvest House, a Christian publishing company. She joined us by phone from her office in Eugene, Oregon. We're going to take a couple of more calls on this question and then talk about a new documentary about British folk singer Nick Drake. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we are talking about the phenomenon of Christian literature. Our guest is Jonna Reese, Religion Book Review editor for Publishers Weekly. If you'd like to join us, our number is 800-989-8255. And in a couple of minutes, we're also going to be talking about the life of British singer-songwriter Nick Drake, who died 30 years ago. A new album is coming out in Europe next week. So if you want to talk about Nick Drake, our number also 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us, TOTN@NPR.org. Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Mark, who's with us from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, Neil. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for just even being willing to discuss this conversation as a whole. It's I find it very fascinating.
Okay.
I'm also a Christian author. I've only written one book, no big deal. But I did want to comment on why, in my opinion, this has really been quite a, if you want to call it a phenomenon, I just think that people are realizing there's a need in their life, and they're finding some of that need met in this in Christian books.
Mm-hmm.
To me, one of the draws of Christian literature is that God becomes a central character in the book. And, you know, he becomes that kind of the unseen force, the one who answers prayers, really the one that has another solution to what someone else is facing. And I see that he, you know, people like in their own personal lives like having prayers answered. It's exciting to read that in a book where God actually comes through and answers some prayers.
As a writer, it must be pretty intimidating to be writing the character of God.
It is, but, you know, if he's a part of your life, then it becomes kind of a natural overflow. And I think that most people today have God, or at least want God, somewhere in their life. And the reality is that God would like to be the central character in all of our lives, though, as you and I know, that isn't always true.
Mm-hmm.
But when they read these books, they're inspiring, and they offer hope. And as you realize today, we need some of that. We need to know that there could be a good ending to everything in the end.
Jonna, hope and comfort, is that part of the appeal?
Certainly people are looking for inspirational reads. Many readers say that they are looking for something that will offer them hope dealing with a particular crisis in their lives. You know, Carolyn mentioned that they've published a book on depression, and we have seen in Christian fiction in particular a greater willingness to deal with topics that are really affecting people's lives: depression, divorce, adultery.
Mark, thanks very much. And are you writing another book?
I would like to. I'm doing a workbook. The book I wrote was Releasing the Power of Your Spiritual Gifts. And it's kind of a self-help or kind of God help, I guess you would call that. And
mm-hmm.
I'd like to do a workbook. I would like to write a book on marriage. I think marriages, having done a lot of counseling in that area, marriages could use some more encouragement and ways to work through.
Good luck with it.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you all dealing with this topic today.
Okay. And, of course, as Mark points out, his book was not fiction, but there's an awful lot of Christian literature that is not fiction. Here's an email we got from Mila in Denver, Colorado. I was wondering if there are other kinds of religious fiction being published, like Catholic fiction or Muslim fiction or Unitarian fiction. What kind of response do you think that would have in the United States? Jonna?
Yes, we are seeing religious fiction that is not just Christian fiction. I mean, Christian fiction certainly numerically is dominating, but yes, we have seen Catholic fiction, which of course is also Christian fiction, but Muslim fiction, not so much, not yet. We have seen Jewish fiction that has been quite beautiful and very, very well-written literary fiction, and I expect those trends to continue.
Mm. Let's see, we've got one final call in. Jim is with us from Charleston, South Carolina.
Good afternoon, and I wanted to say I actually had tried to call in on the first section. I'm a chief technology officer, and you led right into the next topic, dealing with Christian literature, and I must say that I'm doubly enjoying your program today.
Thank you. Did you have a question?
I wanted to answer one of the topics you had brought up on why do we think that these books are selling so well. And from my perspective, I guess I kind of fit the demographic, being a lifelong Christian and living in the Deep South. I've read both the Left Behind series and the Purpose Driven Life series, and while they're quite different, one is self-help and inspiration, the other is fiction. I think the fiction ones are really taken off because it's such a craftily done melding of scripture basis, but also a modern story. You know, you hear about planes and trains and automobiles and lots of planes in the Left Behind series. And it just makes it so interesting that everything's put in a modern context, and it is such a great story.
Jim's question goes along with an email question we got from Lee. What type of subject matter is most popular right now, apocalyptic fiction or inspirational? Is the fiction really moving things, Jonna?
Yes, fiction has actually tripled in growth in terms of the number of books that have been published in all fiction categories in the Christian market. The hot subcategories within that are definitely suspense, which might include apocalyptic fiction, and also chick lit, which is completely different and more lighthearted, more humorous.
Mm-hmm. Jim, thanks very much for the call.
One other comment, if I could make it.
If you could make it quick, we want to move on, but go ahead.
I know the different methods of communication, I think, are the real key. Just like Christian music, the writing skills have just really increased in this genre. And I think the other reason is that these are selling so well is that some people are very well fed by reading the traditional these and thous in the Bible and reading seminary and self-help type books. But this is another way of really getting to people that really aren't fed or aren't satisfied by reading those mediums. And I think that's the other reason this is really taken off.
Okay, Jim. Thanks very much.
Thank you very
Appreciate it. And Jonna, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Jana Rees is the Religion Book Review Editor for Publishers Weekly. She joined us from the studios of WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky.